I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Wow, you know, time flies when you don't care about, like, you know, I haven't lived in L.A. in a long time, but believe it or not, Dustin Brown was drafted in 2003, Mafia. Can you believe that? He's been in the league. This is, like, 19th year. So 10 years, I said. How long has he been in the league? 10 years? He's been in the league, you know, I don't know if he came up, you know, in 2003. My guess is he didn't. You know, they sent him to the minors when they draft him. Most of them, you know, 90% of them go to the minors. They don't come up in the NHL. The top pick might come up, and that's about it, right? It's usually one guy or two guys at most. So he may have come in the league in like 4, 5, or 6. But, you know, Doughty was drafted in 08. So he's like 14 years in the league. And the other one's been, you know, drafted and paid since 03. So Brown's 19 years. This would be his 19th year. And Doughty would be his 14th year. And they've been involved in all kinds of Stanley Cup glory and lore and success. And I just am blown away by how, like, Brown looks. I mean, I'll give you this. Like, his career is, like, over. I mean, he's got, like, he got, like, 6 goals. He's got, like, his numbers are disastrous. Like, for, you know, when you're up in the show, like, your boy Doughty's got 20 points, right, on the season. And then here's your boy Dustin Brown. Literally, he has 17 points. So neither one of them do anything. Obviously, Doughty's a defenseman. But Brown's a right winger, and he's still, you know, still on the team, still getting shifts. Guys, you know, out there playing, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, oh, my God. This guy, I mean, I guess he's got 6, 7 goals, something like that. All I know is he just looks really old to me. Like, he has been through it. I mean, to tell you, his face. I mean, it is like it's like a novel. You can see it from 03 till now. Every chapter, it's written all over his face, all the scars and all the no teeth. I mean, he looks like somebody beat him with a baseball bat. I can't even believe it. Like, I was sitting there looking at him going, what the hell happened to that dude? Because they had, like, a frozen puck in front, and he was standing there and in a scrum, and they showed him, and he was talking to some guy, and I'm like, look at him. He's got no teeth at all, and he's got like 5,000 scars on his face. And, I mean, Doughty, he's even worse. Doughty looks like he's been put in a wood chipper. Mafia, you can't even deny it. I know we've talked about Doughty before on the show, where with all of his wounds and cuts and no teeth. I mean, he looks like, honestly, like someone put him in a wood chipper.
Yeah, this game takes a toll on a lot of the guys. I mean, look at guys like, you know, Burns in San Jose, like what that guy looks like. You're taking out the teeth. There's plenty of guys that, you know, they look normal and everything, and all of a sudden you take out the teeth and then, you know, or they open up the lip and you see the scars there from all the cuts.
We welcome our radio affiliates to Pharrell on a bench on a Thursday night. Sirius XM channel 159, Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in San Diego. Near to you, wanna do you wanna Sports Map Radio in Houston, Sports Byline USA in San Francisco, and Armed Forces Radio all over the globe. I'm talking to Mafia. I want to ask you a question about. I want to see if you think that like UFC fighters are worse with their ears, their cauliflower ears, and all of their cuts. And gashes and scars and it's like they get in a fight, they're automatically bleeding from those same cuts. And then I want you to tell me if you think they're worse than hockey players. And then why don't you bleed it right into do you think that Ciryl Gane can upset it, and that's what it would be, Ngannou, the heavyweight champion of the world. Now they're both I guess Gane is the interim and Ngannou's the real champ. And the funny thing is, I saw a big story on him today that they're both, you know, they both trained in Paris for a while at this guy's amazing gym, this trainer, and I don't know his name, Lopez or something. Anyway, the guy's really famous now because he's trained both of these guys and they're both turning into rock stars. But Ngannou left that camp and he's done with him, and they had like a war or something. They hate each other now, the trainer. And this trainer's now training your boy Gane. So when we come back, I don't know, how much time do I got? Okay, when we come back, you can tell me what you think. Do you think the UFC fighters are worse than hockey players and in terms of their cuts and faces and their wounds? And then who you like in the big fight on Saturday night between Gane and Ngannou?
You're listening to Sports Grid, the home of the winning edge, carrying on the fine tradition of sports gaming from all the way back to ancient Rome. But they never had a mobile app.
So count your blessings, Sporto.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
Just showed Ray Ferraro Chicken Parm. He's doing the broadcast on ESPN with Sean McDonough and Emily Kaplan, and they showed Ferraro, who I'm friends with. Ray was on the Thrashers when I was the play-by-play guy for the year I did it, and I had a lot of fun with Ray Ferraro. He is a funny dude and he is really cool, and he is just he's a total riot prankster. Like the guys, he's a freak. And I used to have so much fun with him joking around and laughing and causing trouble because he was really the team prankster. And he was like the team troublemaker. He was the life of the team. He was the life of the party. And I used to be absolutely insane back then. I was drinking and everything else. And I partied like a rock star when I was doing that gig. And I didn't, you know, they sucked so bad, that team, that I honestly, I should have been drinking. That's how bad they were. They won 11 games the whole season. I mean, they were so pathetic, it wasn't even funny. And they folded 10 years later. So they're in Farrellipeg now. But anyway, the story goes that Ray, they just showed Ray, as I'm sitting here talking with Mafia, the whole, like, last 20 minutes about how old players look that play in the league for 10 or more years. They turn into old men, and they got just massive age. I mean, it's crazy, the aging, what it does to them playing in the league. Like, they lose all their teeth. They have scars all over their face. They lose all their hair. So what do I do? I'm sitting there watching a game, and first thing I look up, and they're doing a then and now with Ray Ferraro. They showed him when he played for the L.A. Kings, when he was young, and then they showed him now live, and he is my age. He's 1 year older than me, and he looks 20 years older than me. I mean, he looks literally like he's 75 years old. I mean, a guy has no hair, no teeth, fake teeth, and he's got a beard. He looks like Santa Claus. His beard is so white. Now, I have the same things. I have a, you know, white goatee beard or whatever. If I grow a beard out, it's white. I won't deny that. But I don't walk around with the white beard going. I'm not the guy that does the whole face white. I'm not doing that. So, and I never will. But I do have the goatee with white in it and gray, whatever you want to call it. But Ray looks 20 years older than me. And he's 1 year older than me. We're the same age, basically, and we have the same lifespan, basically. But he looks 20 years older than me easily. I mean, not even, it's not even the first thing you would do. Who's younger? They're going to pick me every time. There's not one person on the face of the earth that would say that guy's younger than me. Meanwhile, he's a year older than me, looks 20 years older than me. And they were doing the same thing we were doing on the air. We were talking about the aging of players and how they look when they play in the NHL. And sure enough, they did a then and now with Ray Ferraro. And I mean to tell you, this guy looks 100. Anyway, Mafia, do UFC fighters look worse than hockey players when they're done with their careers? And believe me, their careers are real short-lived. These guys last. I mean, if a guy lasts 5 years in the UFC, it's a miracle, in my opinion. I mean, I'm just putting my window is 5 years. If you go 10, you're like a legend. You're a legend in the UFC if you fight for 10 years. But their faces look like they've been hit by a machete. And then I want to know what your thoughts are on Ngannou and Ciryl Gane, and how can Gane beat him?
Well, I mean, it all depends on what type of fighter you are, just like it depends on what kind of hockey player you were, right? You know, we're talking about Brown and Doughty, two guys that, you know, have no problem dropping the gloves, roughing it up, getting involved with people. I mean, if you're like a little skill guy, like, you know, Theo Fleury didn't look that, you know, banged up, at least not from playing. You know, there are other things that factored into how he looked after the game. But I mean, like, you know, King Henrik, the guy is, you know, still looks like a model because he's a goalie. He doesn't get into all that stuff. So there's definitely certain guys, if you're not getting it, you know, mixing it up and getting into the dirty stuff in hockey, that you can look okay. But still, for the most part, you're going to get banged up because of, you know, it's nasty cuts that you get when you get banged up. You're getting the puck to the face that splits you open. You're getting, you know, a skate that's not like a clean, you know, slice. It's, you know, on an angle or some weird thing. You're getting a stick that's not a thin blade. That's just, you know, ground down wood that's chipping away your face. So it's ugly cuts that they're just sewing up quick so you get back in the game. So you end up a lot worse for wear, I think, than even, you know, some fighters, because, yeah, there's certain guys that are just bruisers and, you know, brawlers that look messed up after they get done. You know, like a guy like, you know, Den Henderson, like he would just get into wars. So, yeah, afterwards, his face looks, you know, like he got beaten with a shovel. But, you know, an Anderson Silva or George St. Pierre, who picked guys apart from the outside and then would use their wrestling and their, you know, jiu-jitsu to submit you, they still look fine. You know, Anderson Silva looks like he's still in his 30s, even though he's in his, you know, mid to late 40s, because he didn't take a lot of damage. So it all depends on what kind of fight. I mean, of course, the Diazes are going to look like they're 80 for the rest of their life because they get cut when you breathe on them. They have such bad, you know, scar tissue in their face. But some other guys that didn't take that much damage because they fought more of a grappling, you know, fight type style, they'll be fine. I mean, Kamaru Usman will probably look way better, you know, at 70 than, you know, half the UFC roster. That's just the way it is because his fight style was avoiding the damage. And as far as that fight goes, I'm rolling with Gane. You know, when you see Ngannou's name out there, you're like, all right, who's going to beat this guy? He's such a beast. He just destroys people, knocks you out. Gane has the right type of fight style to avoid that. You know, again, talking about how you fight, your damage you take or don't take, this guy is one of the most athletic guys you're going to see in this weight division. He moves quick. He's light on his feet. He avoids big damage. He picks you apart. He lands almost two times the amount of significant strikes. And, you know, a big thing is he's not going to get dragged into the battle that Ngannou wants. You know, the worst thing if you're fighting a guy like Ngannou or Derek Lewis or some of these other guys like that is they have the power to just drop you with one shot. So if you get in a fight in a phone booth, yeah, eventually they're going to catch you and you're going to go down. He's not worried about doing that. He's not going to do that. You know, he's not going to have Dana White criticize him for putting a crappy fight up and the next time be like, all right, well, I got to get in there and I got to really show who I am. We've seen that against Rozenstruik, against Volkov. He was fine picking him apart from the outside. This guy has no problem winning by decision, and I think that's what he's going to aim for here because he knows Ngannou well. They trained for years together before Ngannou left that camp and, you know, went out to Vegas to train there. They came up with the same guy. You know, Gane's a Muay Thai fighter, so he's used to, you know, finding the different angles, things like that. I think he's going to be content wrapping up his belt by just picking apart Ngannou and avoiding that big power.
So what happened with Ngannou and this club in Paris where he now he's enemies with this trainer? Because, I mean, Ngannou, I heard an interview with him today, and he's just like, the guy's a liar, he's a thief, everything else. And meanwhile, the guy, you know, trained him frankly, to get to this point in his career, he trained him all the way up till he won the title. I think he's, frankly, I don't deny he's a badass, but I think he's overrated. I don't think he's that great. I think he can be beaten.
He definitely can. I mean, we saw it the first time he fought Stipe, and might have seen it again if Stipe fought the fight he wanted to fight in the second fight, where Nagano took that belt from him last year. I mean, Stipe, if he was able to do what he did in the first fight and avoid the big shots, it would have been fine. But for somehow he got sucked in, and he got into that tight, dirty boxing fight, and that's where he got caught. He did not fight the way he wanted to, and he even said so after the fight. So I think the big thing, you know, the thing with Nagano and Lopez, I was reading all up on that, is, you know, he trained for years with this guy in France before MMA was even legal. This guy has done that with a lot of guys. Like you said, Gon's now there. He's, you know, has other ones as well. It's kind of built up MMA in France. And apparently there's been a big falling out over the years. One, because of when he lost that fight to Stipe, Nagano even says, like, he wasn't in the right headspace. He was going and talking to psychiatrists and things like that. It really shook him. And, you know, Lopez came out and told him, like, hey, you owe me a bunch of money. That apparently he didn't pay gym dues or management or trainer fees for a long time, according to Lopez. And Nagano didn't believe that was true. And he thought this guy took way too much credit for his success and acting like he discovered him, when he claims there was a different, you know, coach involved that really put him on the path that he was to be a champion. So he felt that this guy was riding his coattails and trying to, you know, get money out of his pocket. And he didn't like that. And he headed out and went to Vegas.
Yeah, I heard he basically... I've heard him do interviews where he's like, nobody, I'm self-made. Nobody helped me get here. I did it all myself. And I've heard him say it right out of his mouth. I got here because of me. No one helped me. That guy's a liar. He's a thief. He's a snake. He's a piece of shack. And I just was stunned by that story. I thought it was pretty cool. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Yeah, I guess one of the fans here, my boy Jared Lang, like Mike Lang or Artie Lang, he actually pointed out that he's stunned that I didn't lead the show off tonight with the Hoosiers beating Purdue in Bloomington at Assembly Hall. Dad Fisher, Alabama back, Skirvin from Assembly Hall, Bloomington, Indiana, the Hoosiers and Boilermakers on the Indiana University Basketball Network. So they beat them. And I guess maybe the reason I didn't mention it yet is because, I can't believe it, to be one. Reason number one, I can't believe they beat him. Because, and I actually think, fair enough, that Indiana, they're certainly tough. I don't think they're horrible. They're 14-4. I think they're a tough team, but, you know, like I said, they lost at Penn State. They lost in Iowa City. I called those games correctly. I think they're a very average road team. Fair enough. They beat Nebraska and Lincoln because they suck. And I just didn't think they'd beat the number four in the country, if you want to call rankings meaningful. Number four in the country, Boilermakers. You know what I mean? Like, they're just better than Indiana. That's all there is to it. And I guarantee you, when they play them in, the end of the year or end of the season, because they finish the season, I think, March 5th at Purdue. That'll be the last game they play of the season before the Big Ten tournament and the NCAAs. They'll lose in Mackey Arena in West Lafayette, by at least 10 or more. They'll get whacked. Every time they go there, they lose. Literally, every time they go there, they lose. I mean, in my entire life, it's been that story. Sure, they've split with Purdue a million times because they win in Bloomington and lose in West Lafayette. Fair enough. But I didn't think they'd win tonight. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, what can you say? Rob Phinisee had 20. The guy spent his entire career in Indiana injured, but he was 8-13 from the floor. And Ivy had 21 for Purdue. Bottom line is Purdue outscored him 37-31 in the second half, but Indiana 37-28 in the first half. And Indiana beat him flat out. You know, the funny thing is about that team is that Jackson Davis, to me, is an unbelievable player. And Purdue held him to 4 points tonight. That's crazy. And Thompson's another great player. And he was held to 9. So obviously, Purdue's game plan was to shut those two down because they're basically Indiana's entire team. But, you know, Phinisee had 20, and I guess Johnson had 18, and they beat him. So I'm floored that Indiana won that game. I bet on Purdue to win that game. And I got that wrong, obviously. Providence ended up beating Georgetown 83-75. So they did not cover. I think the number at game time was like 10.5. UMass beat St. Louis 91-85 up in Boston. SMU beat Memphis. I hit that spread. The Mustangs were getting 6. They beat them outright in Memphis. I gave you FIU today on Coast to Coast. They beat Marshall by 4. I gave you FAU today on C2C. They beat Western Kentucky getting points. They were getting 1.5, 78-69. They won that game. I don't remember exactly. I think that Charlotte game was 11. They did not cover. They lost by 14. Charlotte was 11. I was right. I can remember spreads like the back of my mind. I can't remember to do anything else, though. I forget everything in life, but I never forget spreads. Mavi and I do so many picks for PharrellOnTheBench.com every day of the year that, believe me, I remember spreads. Here we go. I'm just looking at some of these other games. Chattanooga, I gave you. They won, covered, 72-64. I'm just looking at the ones that matter to me. USC beat Colorado 61-58, and I believe in that game it was 1.5. It was. They were laying 1.5. They covered. And then I gave you Rice today. They were getting points. They covered against Old Dominion, 77-69. And then I'm just looking, Mafia, for ones that matter to me. I gave you South Alabama today. They beat Louisiana, 77-70, so another big game that I hit. And then Murray State, I gave you minus 27.5. Did I not tell you? I said, listen, that's a gigantic number, but they can do it. They can cover. And they did. They won by 40 over Eastern Illinois. I gave you UConn. Did I not tell you that was my number one play today on C2C? And I said, they will kick Butler's ass 6 ways till Sunday. Automatic. Lay the 8.5. Done. They smoked their ass. I gave you Boise State on the road. Did I not? Getting 1. I said, that team is flat out better than Utah State. They will beat them. And then I gave you another top play, Mafia. Air Force getting 6 at home against UNLV. They beat them outright by 7. I gave you that one. I gave you Cincinnati laying the points. They blew out Tulsa. I gave you, how about this one? UTEP to win and Texas San Antonio getting the points. Double cover there. I gave you Eastern Washington over Sacramento State. And they covered laying 7.5. They win 75-62. I gave you San Diego getting 16. BYU to win. San Diego to cover. Boom. Double cover there. I gave you St. Mary's minus 9. They won by 8. Drag. And then later, starting any minute now, Washington and Oregon State, I took Washington in the 3. I mean, Mafia, I cleaned up in college basketball tonight, except for Indiana.
Of course. The only one you get wrong is when your team screws you over. I can't believe it.
I mean, can you imagine? My team screws me over. The Hoosiers. Gun, 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 gun. Oh, Indiana. Oh, Indiana.
Listen, those are the bets you don't mind losing.
We're all for you. What's that?
That's the kind of bet you don't mind losing. You're okay being wrong in that when you know think your team's going down, you don't think they're up to the task, and they prove you wrong.
It is true. probably stop drinking coffee at this point, considering I'm on massive amounts of drugs, and I'm now lit like a firecracker, and I'm, you know, probably allegedly a half an hour or more, maybe 40 minutes away from trying to go to bed, because I have to get up really early every day. I get up at like 6:45, and I take my son to school. 34C takes the girl to school. I take the boy to school. And it's funny, he can drive now, he has a license, but the school does not permit you to drive to school until you're a senior, which he's a senior next year. So this year he can't go to, he can't drive to school, which would save me the pain in the ass that it is. Now, I'm not allowed to show my emotion about complaining about driving my son to school every day, because it really ticks off 34C when I complain about things, which I do every day. I complain, but I really, you know, I'm like an Uber driver over here. I'm always driving my, you know, my kid to school and then other places as well. Meanwhile, he has his driver's license now, and he has a car. And she won't let him drive ever in the snow or anything. So it's almost like he never had his license, because she won't let him drive to school. She won't let him drive to, well, that's because the school rules. But she won't let him drive to, like, in the snow either. And it was snowing today. So I always have to drive him. So I get up early, and I hate it. I mean, I go to bed at whatever, 12:15, 12:30, fall asleep like 1, and then I get up, you know, at 6 something, and I'm just miserable. I hate it. I effing hate it. Like, you have no idea. Like, that I have to get up and be a school bus driver is just beyond me. It's just the worst. And you know why? Because the school bus actually comes around here to pick up kids, but it comes at 7 a.m. sharp, and they don't start school until 8:15. And I understand that. Like, who wants to get picked up at 7, and 10 minutes later you're at the school, and you sit there for an hour waiting for school to start? I mean, screw that. Stay in bed, right? And then go when you know, at the last minute when you have to. So that's what we do. And then tomorrow I have to take his car, whatever, to the my guy's shop, because his like tire light is on. So I can't let him drive around with a tire light on. She freaked when I said the tire light was on. So I got to go get that checked out and get him an oil change. So tomorrow I'm getting up early to do stupid things that I hate. Like, I'm going to go sit at some, you know, my guy's shop, which I get along with the guys at the shop. I've been friends with him for like 25 years, and I'm really good with him. That's a guy, my boy Bobby. I lost I beat him in a bet. The bet was that, you know, there's that mafia, right? So the guy bet me that Biden wouldn't last a year in office, that he would be either dead or thrown out of office. And he made it a year. And so it was January 20th of last year. So he made it in, which was today. And he owes me synthetic oil changes for life. How about that? He lost the bet to me.
That's no cheap bet there. That's nice.
Yeah, that's a good deal, right? So I'm going to go cash in on the first day that he loses. I'm cashing in my first synthetic oil change. And he owes me free synthetic oil changes for life. You lose, Bobby. My man, Bobby, you lose. Anyway, it's Pharrell on the bench.
It's a jungle out there. So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed. That's where we come in. Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
Now, if you don't like making money, then, I wouldn't be a fan or a member of PharrellOnTheBench.com. But if you, you know, enjoy making money and you like, winning bets, and, you know, like even in hockey where you don't even like hockey, you're like, I hate hockey. I don't bet on hockey. I'll tell you what, you bet on hockey when you use my picks, because all I do is make people money. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Mafia is my witness. I mean, there is no one that hits more hockey bets on the face of the earth than me, whether you like it or not. Again tonight, Mafia, it's just embarrassing. I hit the Penguins over the Senators, 6-4. I hit the Bruins 4-3 over the Capitals. I told you I was taking one last flyer on the Bruins after they got beat 7-1 by the Canes the other night. I'm like, I'm about done with the Bruins. But I gave them one last chance, and they hit for me 4-3 over the Caps. I took the Stars on the road. I said, that is not going to be easy. That'll be a tough game for Dallas to win. But they did, 5-4. I gave you the Jackets in Philly. I told you the Flyers are cooked. I mean, they are done. And the Jackets beat them 2-1. I gave you the Predators over the Jets in Smashville, 5-2 Preds. And I gave you the Panthers over the Oilers. And I said on Coast to Coast, the Oilers are ass. And all they do now is lose. Panthers, 6-0 the final. So I'm already, 6-0. And then there's three left. I need Vegas. They're tied with the Canadians 2-2. In Vegas, with about a minute left in the second. I still think Vegas will win that game. I could be wrong. And then I'm on the Sharks. They're losing to the Smoke Kraken 2-1 in Seattle after two periods. And I'm going to lose the Avalanche bet. I went high risk with the Kings. They just got scored on a breakaway. Guy came out of the penalty box, scored a goal. It's 3-1 Avs, and there's 14 minutes left. I don't see at this point the Kings coming back, tying it, and winning it. But stranger things have happened in 14 minutes, so that's not a done deal yet. At worst, 6-3. At best, I'm looking at, I think, 7-2 in the NHL. And that's just like a normal night. I already told you on college basketball, forallonthebench.com tonight, all I did was hit about 90% of the bets. Literally 90% or more. I mean, I got Indiana wrong, and that was about it. I know one other game I lost was that Florida State bet. I laid 21.5. I knew that after they played that Duke overtime game that they would not cover against North Florida the 21.5, and I still bet it, and I lost it knowing the whole time. I'm like, they're not winning any game by 21 after they played overtime with Duke last night. Everybody went out and got laid and partied. Believe me. And sure enough, I went with, all right, they'll cover. But they didn't. They barely beat them by, like 10 or something, or 9, or even less. It was close. But Florida State won the game. So, I mean, that's just another night at the office for me, hitting tons of winners. I mean, just get on ForellOnTheBench.com. It's cheap. It's pain-free. You'll love it. All I do is rack up covers. That's all I do. The Suns I gave you tonight over the Mavericks. And I think they were laying 3.5, 4. Sure enough, they win 109, 101. Can you explain to me, Mafia, how that game, the Booker against Luka, was not on television tonight? They put on the Pacers and Warriors are on right now on TNT. How did they not have a doubleheader and show the Suns and Mavericks, that great game? And they just blew it off. And they showed the crappy Pacers. I cannot believe the Pacers are winning by 1 over the Warriors right now in the third. I can't even believe it.
That game was on TV. I mean, I was watching part of that before. That was definitely on, I believe. Pretty sure that wasn't that on the ESPN doubleheader or something?
Oh, maybe it was. Maybe that was the first game, and then they went to the second game. But I just maybe they took the TNT thing off of the scoreboard. Maybe it was.
Right. Yeah.
I was TNT. Right, I watched the Knicks. Yeah. Right. Well, this is on TNT. So whatever. Who cares? It was on. Let's say it was on. They won. That's all I know. And all they do is win. And we said that today on Coast to Coast. The Carver High said, the reason why I'm betting on them is because all they do is win. I mean, that's the deal. You bet on them, you win bets. And all they do is win bets. They don't pay a lot, but it is what it is. Tonight, CP3 had 20 and 11 dimes. And Booker had 28, 5, and 6. They are incredible. Crowder had 13. Bridges had 12. I mean, McGee had 8. I mean, they just
right. They're down double digits in the second half game too. They blew them out in the fourth quarter, 35-19, to win that game. They were getting their butts kicked for a while.
The Suns.
Yeah, they were down double digits to the Mavs, and that was with Luka on the bench wrapped up. I don't know. We have to see what's up with him. He was pretty heavily wrapped in the second half. I don't know. I came down to get the show ready. I didn't have the game going at that point to see if he made it back in there, but he looks like he's banged up, and now that's 5 in a row. They sweep the road trip, the Suns. They're unstoppable.
Yeah, Luka had 28, but I guess you're saying he got banged up. Fair enough. But he deals. But they had a big game the night before, and they won by four. And I said, I'm not taking them in a back-to-back where the second end of it is you're running into the Phoenix Suns. Even if the game's in Dallas, I could care less because the Suns are better than everybody. I think they're better than every team in the league, and that includes the Bucks.
Yeah, he did come back in. Luka played eight. He only played 8 minutes in the fourth, though, because he went down hard in the closing seconds of the third and hurt his neck on a hard fall. But yeah, he had a bad game. You know, he had a great points wise, but he had eight turnovers, so he definitely hurt them in the comeback.
So I think, you know, what I'm saying about the Suns is, like, obviously they lost to the Bucks in the finals, but I think this year, this season, the Bucks are going through the motions. I think they are, you know, cruise control. They just, you know, they play the schedule as it is. They go out, they do what they got to do. And if they win, they win. If they lose, they just don't care. And they're just like, we're going to make the playoffs. And when we get to the playoffs, we're going to kick everyone's ass because we are going to just flip a switch. And I don't know if that's possible, but I don't deny that they're really good, right? That they can ball. They can flat out ball. When they're playing together and they're playing on both ends of the floor and they're playing D and they got everybody rolling and they're healthy, they are dangerous. But I truly believe at the end of the day that they won that series because Ayton went AWOL when they needed him most, right? Like, Ayton has been dominant against everybody, but when it came to Ante Tecumpo and your boy Giannis, he took over that series, and it was all about him. And he was the MVP, and they won the finals because no one could stop him. Every night, it was both ends of the floor, world domination. He played great, right? And no one could stop him, and Ayton did nothing about it. And Giannis dominated him, and that's why they won the final. But I think, overall, I still believe, I truly believe, that team was good. The Suns, they were really good, and now they're even better. I think they actually are playing with a chip on their shoulder, and that they are, to me, Mafia, they're the best team in the league. And I know everybody loves to knob the Warriors, but I'm not knobbing the Warriors. I think the Suns are better.
Yeah, they're definitely better because the Warriors, especially now that we're seeing, you know, these guys are getting banged up. You and I, again, it was something we talked about the other night. They're not young, you know, guys anymore. You have these guys in their 30s and Curry and Green and Thompson coming off the injury. So those guys are going to be banged up. You know, Green's had timeout. Curry's had timeout this year. You have Thompson back now, but you know they're going to, I don't want to say baby him, but they're going to be easy with him and not give him back-to-backs and a ton of other stuff until they get to the playoffs, working back slowly. So, you know, a team like Phoenix, who has so many young guys. I mean, look, they came back and won that game tonight. They didn't even play Ayton. Ayton wasn't there. He's banged up. So, you know, they have so many weapons on that team that their third best player can sit out and they can still come back from being down double digits in the second half. They're just awesome. They have, you know, a lot of depth right now this year. These guys have come into their own, some of these younger players, you know, that another year of experience, that experience being in the finals and losing that, seeing what it takes to win a championship. It helped them grow, and they're playing like it right now, and we'll see if they can keep it up the whole way through because it's, you know, not about the regular season, like you said. The Bucks know that. The Lakers know that. You know, you've seen plenty of other teams, you know, the Nets. There's so many teams that have been good in the NBA over the last 5 or 6 years that just don't give a damn about their record in the regular season as far as having to be a top seed and have the home court throughout.
Right.
I mean, I think that was a big thing for the Bucks before because they wanted that. They thought they needed that. Now that they know they can win on the road, now that they won Game 7 in Brooklyn last year, they're saying, who cares if we have to play on the road? They're not worried about that. A team like Phoenix still wants that, and they're still hungry for it with these young guys. We'll see if they can continue and hold that throughout the rest of the season. And it looks like they might. I mean, come on. All these teams in the West that were good for the most part, outside the Warriors, a lot of them are struggling too. You know, the Nuggets are up and down. They hit that three late last night to come back and win that game. The Jazz are, what, 7 in a row they've lost? They just look terrible. So many of these, you know, the Lakers are in free fall, the Clippers, who knows who's playing on any given night with, you know, Kawhi still out and PG-13 getting a ton of rest. It looked like they had just a roll bench game last night in that game against the Nuggets. So a lot of these other good teams in the West aren't looking that great. Memphis is the second best team, I would say, outside of them and, well, third best, outside of them in Golden State when Golden State's healthy.
I mean, the Grizzlies kicked the Warriors' ass.
They did, I mean, yeah.
That's all there is to it. So I think they're dangerous with Ja Morant and company. I will say this. I'm watching this Pacer team who you know, it's unbelievable to me, but they, you know, they played, unless I'm tripping. They played the Lakers last night, right? And beat them 111-104. They were down 15. They won that game. That caused Westbrook to get benched in the fourth by Vogel. And that has led to all kinds of hell fire today. You know that Westbrook's done with Vogel. That relationship ended last night. So that's a real issue for L.A. moving forward. But the Pacers won that game last night. And then they go up to play in San Francisco against the Warriors. And they're actually tied right now with a minute 45 left in the third. I cannot believe that they went back-to-back against the Lakers and Warriors and that they're in this game. And then the thing that amazes me about them is that, you know, I've heard all this stuff that they're thinking about, frankly, dealing, and he's not playing tonight, Sabonis, that they're going to trade Domantas Sabonis. Are you kidding me, Mafia? Like, honestly, that guy is by far, hands down, their best player, and he's their only player. And literally, I mean, he's amazing. I mean, the guy can flat out ball. He's big. He knows how to get to the hole. He knows how to finish. He knows how to pass. He knows how to defend. He does everything. He is by far their best player, hands down. Why would they trade him? I know they want to rebuild. He's in street clothes tonight, but I know they want to rebuild, but they need to build around him, not deal him. You deal him, they're going to regret that forever.
They probably will, but I mean, if you're in a rebuild, you need to trade something with value to get pieces back to rebuild with. I mean, what are you going to trade besides him on that team that's going to get you anything worthwhile to actually make the team better?
I mean, I'd trade Miles Turner. I'd trade Chris LeVert. I would trade Torrey Craig. Literally, I mean, I'd trade Washington, the kid that played at Ohio State. I mean, you know, basically, I'd trade Holiday. He's got 11 tonight. Duarte has 18. I mean, they suck. They have no talent. They really have no talent. It's Pharrell on the bench.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So the hockey games haven't changed. Avs still up 3-1 with 5 minutes left. Canadiens Knights 2-2 going to the third. They're in the third in Seattle. The Smoke Kraken up 2-1 over the Sharks. Friday, on a pain-free Friday, Penguins play in Columbus, so they had to jump over there. They both won tonight. We'll see who is tougher tomorrow night on a back-to-back. Rangers are in Raleigh against the Kane Stars at the Red Wings, Coyotes and Islanders on Strong Island. Wild are in Chicago, Panthers at Canucks, Lightning Ducks in Anaheim on a pond, and the Blues play the Smoke Kraken tomorrow night in Seattle. NBA right now, going to the fourth, Warriors Pacers tied up, Pelicans beat the Knicks, Suns beat the Mavs, and covered, Pelicans covered. Friday in the NBA, Lakers at Magic, they start a long road trip, Heat Hawks in Atlanta, Thunder in Charlotte, the Clippers and Sixers in Philadelphia as Embiid continues to storm through everyone and try to earn an MVP at 50 the other night. And they're doing it without Simmons or anybody else. He's doing it himself. The rest of that team sucks. Blazers, Celtics in Boston tomorrow, Raptors, Wizards in D.C. The Bulls in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. The Nets are in San Antonio, favored by 3 now. Grizzlies, Nuggets, a good one in Denver. Denver by 4. Jazz hosts the Pistons in Salt Lake. They've been losing left and right. And the Warriors play again tomorrow night. They play the Rockets in San Francisco at the Chase. So really good night Friday in the NHL and NBA. It should be thick. There's a couple of decent college basketball games, but mostly it sucks. I'll see you at 4 Eastern on Friday for Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. For Mafia, I'm Pharrell. Good night from New York.